Shalom Aleichem, Nala viewers. This is Rabbi Heshi Reichman with the Dvar Torah on Parshas Ekev, Chassidus from Shemesh Shmuel. We're on page Samach Vav, and Shemesh Shmuel and Parshas Ekev. Hashir is dedicated to the memory of Rachel Leah Bas Reb Chaim Tzvi Aleh Shalom. Shemesh Shmuel explains a very puzzling medrash at the beginning of the parasha. And with your permission, I'll read the medrash inside, and then we'll follow the Shemesh Shmuel's explanation. The medrash, the pasuk, of course, the beginning of the parasha says, V'hoya ekev tishmu'un El Mishpatai, if you will listen to my laws, then Hashem Yisbach says, I will keep for you the promise which I promised to you and to your forefathers to give you blessings. And the Medrash on this pasuk, V'hoya Ekev Tishmun, if you will keep the laws, the word Ekev is apparently a focus of the Medrash. The word Ekev, Rashi also points out his interpretation of it. Ekev is an unusual word. It's an unusual word. So, usually, and really it's unnecessary in the verse. It could have said, V'hoya im tishmun. If you will listen, then I will fulfill my part of my promise. What is the word Ekev? Ekev, in simple Hebrew, might mean as a result of your listening. So it's, why is that word chosen? So the Medrash goes into something which is baffling. It says like this, Adam Yisrael shesh lo menorah shesuya prakim prakim malatatlo b'shabbos. If a person has a disassembled light fixture, a lamp, it's in pieces, he wants to know whether he can assemble it on Shabbos. So it quotes, it says, Kach shonu chachamim, ha-makav k'nei menor b'Shabbos chayv chatos. If someone assembles a disassembled lamp on Shabbos, he puts together the lamp, so now that it can be used, he's chayv chatos, he's violated Shabbos, he's built something. Why you chayiv, the Medrash says? So it says, Ka'adam shabayna b'Shabbos, he's building something on Shabbos by assembling this lamp. Then it says, Nesad l'chos is Shabbos. God says, I gave you Shabbos. V'nesad l'chila tovoscha, I gave you Shabbos for your own benefit. And then it says, Mekadesh is a Shabbos, V'machel v'mishta v'chsus nekiya u'ma'atnes nafshecha. A person on Shabbos eats and drinks and wears nice clothing and enjoys the Shabbos, and he knows nochoscha. God says, I will give you reward for that. Because it says in a verse, k'vosa l'Shabbos oneg, you will enjoy the Shabbos. And it says later, Astas Anagal Hashem with Machomishal as the Becha. If you enjoy Shabbos, you will really enjoy Hashem, who will grant your heart's desires. Then it continues, the Medrash. Amala Yisrael, the Jews, Israel says to the Almighty, the Emes say, Atanosen Lanus Cha Mitzvahs. When will we get the reward for Mitzvahs? Amal Kadosh Baruch Hu, you do mitzvahs, you will eat the fruits of those mitzvahs now. But the reward, I give it to you at the end. Here the word ekev is interpreted as meaning the end, like the sole of the leg is the ekev, it's the bottom, it's, let's say, the end of the body. It's called the ekev, the heel. So in time, Ekev can refer to the end of time. V'hoye ekev tishma, because you listen at the very end of time. V'sham ani, as God says, I will remember and I will keep my promise. But it's only take place at the end of time. Oh, this is the Medrash. Now the Medrash is a baffling Medrash. Why does it start off with this discussion of assembling a menorah on Shabbos, whether it's permitted, and it says it's prohibited because it's building? And then it goes off into a discussion of enjoying Shabbos, and God says, if you enjoy the Shabbos with good food and clothing, I will give you more enjoyment, more pleasure. Then it speaks about, is there reward for mitzvahs? It says no. There's no reward for mitzvahs. You eat the fruits of the mitzvah. The reward will come akev at the end of time. The whole Medrash, the flow from one part of it to the next is incomprehensible. So Shem Shmuel answers one Medrash with another Medrash. There's another Medrash, the words of Achazal, and also in the Pasha, which says as follows. A king gave his queen two precious stones to put in, to wear in her dress. And she put on that dress with these two precious stones. The king was so impressed, he gave her another two gifts. So it says like this, he's fine that Abraham gave his children two precious stones, or two gifts. It says in the Pasuk, Ki yadaitiv l'man yeshitzav ez bonav ez beis v'achor v'shomu derech Hashem las etztoku mishpat. God says, I know Abraham will teach his children and his family to keep the way of God, to do charity and justice, tzedakah and mishpat. These are two gifts, which Avraham, two precious stones, which Avraham bequeathed his offspring, the Jewish people. Tzedakah and mishpat, charity and justice. Avraham Kadosh Baruch Hu, God gave in response to Avraham's two precious stones, Hashem Yisbarach gave back two precious or two gifts to the Jews. Chesed v'rachamim. Chesed v'rachamim. Chesed, it's hard to translate the two words, but it could mean chesed is charity or kindness, and rachamim is mercy. Okay, we'll soon see. It's kindness, it's goodness, it's... We'll soon see what chesed and rachamim are. So it says in the pasuk, "V'shom Hashem l'cho es habris v'sachesed, v'nos l'cho rachamim v'chamecha." God will keep the promise of chesed and rachamim. Then the Medrash continues. So far the Medrash says that since Avraham Avinu bequeathed the Jewish people two gifts, Tzedakah and Mishpat, charity and justice, Kadosh Baruch Hu responds by giving the Jewish people chesed and rachamim, kindness and mercy. Then it says, of the Yisrael Shalem, the Jews, Israel, lost their gifts. Because there's a pasuk, hafachtem l'roish mishpat u'pri tzedakah l'lano. It says, when the Jews sinned, the prophet says you perverted justice and charity and you made it poison. Avraham Kadosh Baruch Hu Netel Shloim, and then it says Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, takes back his gifts. Shenema kirsavti shloim es achesed v'serachmim, I take back my chesed and rachamim. And the Medrash continues, Om de Yisrael v'choshuas atzmam ve'viu os mishnei erisin shenema. The Jews, Israel, fixes themselves, repents, and brings back these two precious stones. Because it says, Zion will be redeemed with mishpat, with justice, and Shovel, the prisoners of Tzion, will be redeemed with tzedakah through charity. It means that the Jewish people reestablished the mishpat and tzedakah, which they perverted and caused their destruction. Now they reestablish it and they will be redeemed. Afakadosh Baruch Hu, Hevishlein, God in the future, when it will be the ultimate redemption, brings back his two gifts. Yenemah, Kiraham Yemushu Vagvois Timutena, Vachazni Medchalo Yamush, Vis Shlomi Lotomut Oma Maachmech Hashem. Just as mountains cannot move and hills cannot collapse, so too says the Almighty, my chesed, my mercy, will never be taken away from you. Neither will my covenant of peace collapse, says Merachamech Hashem, he who has kindness and mercy upon you. So chesed and rachmim will be restored. Oh. And then it says, when Shavi Yisrael Shalahem, Kadosh Baruch Hu does Neshalah, once Israel does its part, Kadosh Baruch Hu does his part, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Elu V'Elu Yasu HaTorah, V'Yinos Nebrosh Mishal Yisrael. So we have a new crown for Israel, as it says, V'Aristich Li L'Olam, V'Aristich Li B'Tzedek, V'Mishpot, V'Chesed V'Rachim. God says, I will marry you, you will be my beloved forever, with Tzedek, Mishpot, charity, justice, chesed, mercy, wrath, and kindness. So it's a beautiful medrash about how two equals two, how the two things, the two diamonds, jewels of the Jewish people, the tzedakah mishpat, the charity and the justice which Avraham Avinu taught his children, which is maybe the fundamental characteristics of Israel, bring blessings, a response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Almighty, blessed be He, Hashem is Baruch, gives the Jewish people chesed v'rachmim, mercy and kindness. And there's a back and forth. This is, of course, at the beginning, because of Abraham and his children, but then eventually the Jewish people lose it. The destruction of a temple, Jews go into exile because they perverted charity and justice, and because of that God takes away his gifts of chesed and rachamim, of mercy and kindness. Eventually the Jewish people will repent and reestablish charity and justice, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, will respond with giving chesed and rachamim, and we have the ultimate merger, v'astichli b'tzedek v'mishpat v'chesed v'rachamim. Hashem Yishmuel would like to explain what are the two jewels of Israel and the two jewels of the Ribbono Shel'olam, which at the end become four diamonds in the crown, and the bejeweled crown of Israel in the time of the future redemption. Chesed, Rachman from God, and Tzedakah Mishpat from Am Yisrael. What are these things? What do they represent? Mentioned many times a concept which runs through Chassidus, and of course it's a fundamental concept in Torah, is that the Torah focuses on two parts of human personality, on the Moach and on the Lev. On the heart and mind of Israel. The Moach, the mind, and the Lev, the heart of the Jew. The Torah is here and comes as God's gift to us to help us develop and to perfect our Moach and our Lev, our mind and our heart, our intellect and our emotions. And the fact of the matter is that one without the other is nothing. The Torah has many mitzvos which refer to the Moach, like studying Torah and thinking about Hashem and pondering the connection between God and the universe, etc. And knowing various things. Torah's many mitzvahs had to do with the lev, to love one another, to love Hashem, to be kind and charitable, etc. You can't take one part without the other. You know, there have been many attempts, unfortunately, in Jewish history, with various sects, offshoots of Torah Judaism as we know it, have attempted to split and to create sub-packages of the Torah. There have been certain sects which have emphasized the moach, the mind, and not so much the heart. Others have emphasized the heart and not so much the mind. Some have tried to split mitzvahs that have to do with God from the mitzvahs which have to do with man. All these various sects and attempts to actually destroy the unity, the indivisibility of the Torah, have all failed. None of whom has replaced authentic Judaism. Authentic Torah Judaism has remained loyal to the basic concept which Moshe, and of course in the name of God, taught us, lo sosef, lo sigur mimenu, do not add, do not subtract from Torah. It's an indivisible total package, and it refers to the moach and to the lev, to the intellect as well as the emotions. One has to develop our intellect through the study of Torah. Have to develop our emotions, emotional experience of Torah. And the challenge is to develop both to the ultimate degree that we can. I want to mention here, before I proceed with the Shem Shmuel, that we, who are parents and are raising children, have to be very, very careful that we develop both parts. I have to say that sometimes, as an educator myself, I notice that sometimes our Jewish education emphasizes one to the detriment of the other. I find that too often Jewish education today emphasizes the intellectual side and doesn't focus enough on the emotional side. And that's something which is to be bemoaned. It's a very regretful about this phenomenon. The Torah is not about producing robots and brains who know a lot but are not passionate and not emotional about the Judaism, to go through routines without feelings. This is very, very unfortunate. It's a shallow religion. It's missing the essence, which is the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Dov Kabod, to cling to him, and to be attached to him in a living way, like a married man is attached to his wife, and vice versa. This is a real, real emotional attachment. It can't just be an intellectual, philosophical notion. But unfortunately, many of the schools have lost sight of this. If you have a child in such a school, and I recommend that you as a parent fill the missing gap, give your child those emotional experiences which get them excited about Torah and about being a Jewish person, being a child and servant of the Almighty. It's very important to give our children the emotions of Torah, the simcha of Torah, etc. In any event, getting back to our main discussion, moach and lev, the intellect and the emotions, the mind and the heart, are an indivisible double foundation of what it means to be a Torah Jew. And, of course, Avraham Avinu, who was the founding Jewish father, says in the Chumash, he taught his children two fundamental ways of life, or things to do in one's life. Tzedakah and Mishpat. Charity and justice. What is charity a function of? The lev, the emotions. To feel for the unfortunate. To have empathy. Emotional empathy. To cry together with the person who's crying. And to laugh with the person who's laughing. To be a feeling human being. This is tzedakah. This is charity. And what is mishpat? Justice. The mind. The commitment to truth. The unbending commitment to truth. And to fairness and justice and what's right. This is, of course, a function of the mind. So Avraham Avinu taught the Jewish people the tzedakah and the mishpat. The charity and the justice. The mind and the heart. The Kaddish Baruch Hu responds by giving the Jewish people two gifts. Chesed and Rachamim. Mercy and kindness. What's the difference between Chesed and Rachamim? Now, if those of us who have a little bit of a feeling for the semantics of the Hebrew language know that Chesed is a kindness which is not necessarily deserved by the recipient. A chesed in Hebrew means to do something beyond what's necessary, beyond what's called for, beyond what's justified. In fact, it has. We use the word chassid. A chassid is someone who does, and a noun, a person who's a chassid, is someone who supposedly, according to our chazal, our sages, does something lifnim mishuras adin. He does more than the justice that the strict letter of the law calls for. It's something uncalled for. It's something extra. It's something which you volunteer to do. You don't have to do it. That's a chesed. What is rachamim? Rachamim is being nice to somebody, but when he deserves it. In other words, there's some kind of a mixture of chesed and din. In fact, this is a chassidish, Kabbalistic concept, that the first concept in the seven spheros, the seven ladder levels of God's way of running the world and expressing himself in the world, the first is chesed. And after chesed is din. And then after that comes rachamim. Chesed means that many times Shem Yisbarach, God Almighty, just gives the world goodness. No one in this world deserves this. But God showers it upon us anyway. Then, of course, there's din. God could be very strict, exacting, demanding to follow the letter of the law and strict justice. And what is rachamim? The fusion of chesed and din. When a person needs something extra, but in a certain way he deserves it. He deserves it. You have rachamim. What's interesting is that we have an expression in Lashon Kodesh, in our prayers, we say, Kerachem aval banim, kein terachem Hashem aleinu. The way if other has mercy on his child, so too you, Hashem, have mercy upon us. We don't say, kechesed, aval banim, that the father has chesed with the son. Kein techesed, so too tase chesed, to chesed with us. We say, kerachem, aval banim, kein terachem, Hashem aleinu. Because a father, of course, in the family situation, he represents the power of din. He's strong. He's exacting. he teaches Torah, what's right, what's wrong, and it's strict law. But a child needs chesed. A child doesn't always keep the strict law. A child is childish. He'll break the law. So the father has to have a combination of chesed and din. He wants to teach his child the law, but he knows the child can't keep the law all the time in the most perfect way. So he has a chesed. He gives him something he doesn't deserve. But that chesed is with din. It's knowing that the child is learning. So the father gives, but it's with din. It's a combination of chesed and din. So we tell Ribono Shel Olam, Kerachem Aval Banim, Kein Terach. We may not be perfect, but we do some things okay. And we do deserve something. And we need your kindness. So give it to us. If you can, please share it with us by seeing the virtues we have, seeing some of the good things, and maybe even giving us more than we deserve. Give us rachman. Like a father has rachman on his son. A father will give his son more than a stranger would. A stranger will deal with the son more with mishpat, just din. The father will have chesed plus din. That combination. This is the combination, kerachem aval banim, which is the ideal relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. So, Avraham Avinu, he teaches his children tzedakah mishpat. Tzedakah is chesed. You may be giving to a person who doesn't deserve this money. Why? But he's poor. He's an unfortunate. So you give it to him. You don't question, does he deserve it? He's a human being. He's in suffering. I want to help him. That's a chesed. And Avraham Avinu taught us mishpat, to follow the strict law. In other words, we have chesed and din, which combination will be rachamim. So Kodesh Baruch Hu responds, he gives to the children of Avraham Avinu chesed, sometimes pure chesed. We don't deserve anything. And still Hashem gives it to us. But many times, and most times, we hope and pray that God gives us rachamim, this combination of chesed and din. Like Avraham Avinu and the Jewish people, do tzedakah v'chesed, tzedakah v'rachamim, tzedakah mishpat, chesed and din. So this is the first part of the Medrash. These are the two jewels of the Jewish people and the two jewels of the Ribono Shel Olam. The Jewish people jewels are tzedakah u'mishpat, charity and justice. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives back chesed and rachamim. Chesed meaning pure chesed, pure kindness, and rachamim, the combination of kindness with justice, chesed and din. Now, unfortunately, throughout Jewish history, we did not maintain this. We reached a point, there was a perversion of the tzedakah of mishpat. It's very unfortunate the Jewish people are always under spiritual attack by the forces of evil. And when the Jewish people succumb, we twist it. We have mercy and tzedakah on evildoers who should not be. We shouldn't have mercy on them. And we put mishpat on tzaddikim. We judge tzaddikim as if they were rishayim, as if they were evil. There's a perversion. So Kodesh Baruch Hu takes back chesed. And he takes back rachamim. And says, okay, you're not doing your part, I won't do my part. And in the future, the Jewish people will do tshuva and restore tzedakah mishpat. Kodesh Baruch Hu will come and will restore the chesed and the rachamim. And what's interesting, Shem Yishmael points out that in this medrash, the original tzedakah mishpat, which the Jewish people, the original tzedakah mishpat, which the Jewish people practiced, came from the teachings of Avraham. It wasn't something which they developed on their own. And eventually it was lost. However, in the future, Tzion b'mishpat tipodeh v'shover b'tzedakah. The Jewish people themselves will develop the tzedakah and mishpat. It won't just be something they learned from their forefathers. Every time which they themselves intuit, they themselves realize is the right way to behave. It'll be something that it'll be the product of Am Yisrael. And that's why in the future when HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds with Chesed and Rachamim, he'll create a crown of four jewels, because it's going to be a combination of Am Yisrael themselves with the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and this combination will last forever and ever. Shem Yishmor makes an interesting point that if it's going to last forever in a certain way, it means that every part of it will be part of our Kaddish Baruch Hu's creation. The Tzedakah Mishpat, which the Jewish people themselves will do in the future, will be something which will come as because of God's inspiration. As it says in the Pasuk, Kimimchoa Koil, Umayotcha Nesanu Loch, you yourselves give us the ability to do what's right. And you should know, my dear friends, that we can pray for this. We can daven for this. We can say tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us do tzedakah and mishpat. Even though the tzedakah and the mishpat, the charity and the justice, is something which we do. It's our contribution to this crown of four jewels. But we need Hashem Yisbarach's help to get there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu stays with us b'soch t'masa. He stays with us despite our failings, despite our defilement. HaShoichet itam b'soch t'masa, it says. God says, I dwell with you despite your defilement, despite your tumah. Hashem Yisbarach is the noisen l'chol koach l'asu ischoil. He gives you the strength to be successful, not just physical realm, materialistic ways. Kadosh Baruch Hu helps the Jewish people and every single Jew in their spiritual struggles. That's why we pray to him for this. We ask him, Hashiveinu Hashem Lachom HaNashuvo Chadishmeinu Kekedem, help us return. Give us the koach to return. I heard this many times from my great Rebbe, the Rav Zitzal, Yosef Dev Soloveitchik, used to say, we're saying the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim, we're saying the 13 attributes of mercy, Hashem, Hashem, and Chazal say, Hashem, lifnei achet, v'Hashem la'achar achet. There's Hashem Yisbarach's name before we sin, when things are going well, God is with us. But there's Hashem la'achar achet. Even if God forbid a person sins, and the Jewish people sin, in a certain way, God walks away. Because we turned our backs on him, so he turns his back on us. But there's a certain aspect. Hashem remains loyal. Hashem itam b'serch tumasa. In a certain way, certain hidden way, mysterious, even sometimes unbeknownst to us, he's still with us, despite our defilement. And this Hashem, after the chet, this Hashem which stays loyal to Am Yisrael no matter what. This is part and parcel of the return. This is the Hashem which brings us back. And we have to say also, based upon Chassidus, that even the Jew sins, there's part of him which never abandons his commitment to Hashem Yisbarach. Now, the Baal HaTanya speaks about this very much. The Baal HaTanya says that in his day, something like 300 years ago, even the Jews about that time, who were not keeping Torah and mitzvahs, still would never convert, would give their life rather than change religion. So he says that this is a function of that inner loyalty which every Jew has. Today, I don't know if we can say that. But, I mean, that particular example or expression, I don't know. Many Jews have abandoned Judaism. I don't know if they took another religion, but they're not practicing. But we see that the Jewish people, even very, very distant Jews, returned, come back, and it's impossible to predict. It's impossible. Who was lost forever? We can say today with full confidence that you can never write any Jew off. He could be intermarried. He could keep going to do all kinds of prohibited things. Eating on Yom Kippur. But something will happen. He'll come back. Or she'll come back. They'll become Torah Jews. So that means that deep, deep down inside, every Jew is still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It just has to be tapped into. That inner connection, that inner point, is also, in a certain way, the correspondence to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who Shoichin Itam B'Serach Tumasom, that there's a certain connection with Hashem, even after the sin. So, the Jewish people knows, Ki Meyot Chakol, that even our return is because of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when we do good things, it's your gift to us. And we daven for this. We say, we pray to Hashem, return us. Return us to you. You can help us. And I want to say, at this point, it's very, very important, you know. Our spiritual struggles are ongoing. And our greatest ally is the Shem Achachet, Hashem Itam B'Serach Tumasam, is Hashem's loyalty to us, despite our sins. And He helps us. We can ask Him to help us. It's not lost. We don't accept the theory of other religions that a sinner is doomed. We say, no, a sinner can change. We can do tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us do tshuva. He helps us do tshuva. So, since we know the secret, we know that many times, if not almost all the time, the credit for our tshuva is with Ribono Shel Olam. We give Him the credit for bringing us back. So just as we give Him credit for our return, He gives us credit for His return. And therefore, these are the four jewels which create this, the final crown of Israel. It's hard to say once you see the crown and the four jewels, who gave what? Did the Jews give the Tzedakah Mishpat? Or was it the Kaddish Baruch Hu who actually led them to Tzedakah Mishpat? Did the Kaddish Baruch Hu give the Chesed and the Rachamim? Or was it the Jewish people that brought Him to give us the Chesed and the Rachamim? In any event, the four jewels become one array in the great crown of Israel, the time of the redemption. Now, all of this, Shem Shmuel explains, in terms of explaining the Medrash of the four jewels. Getting back to the original difficult medrash about putting together the menorah, the lamp, which says you cannot do that on Shabbos. What does this mean? We spoke here of tzedakah and mishpat, charity and justice, lev and moach. The heart and the mind of Israel in Tzedakah and Mishpat. And really, the Pasuk says, Kineh mitzvah Torah, that a lamp is like a mitzvah. And the Torah is the light of the lamp. Now really, in a certain way, these two things are indivisible. You can't have a candle burning or the oil burning unless it's in the lamp. And what is mitzvah? Mitzvah has to do with lev, with a person's emotional attachment and desire to do God's commandments. And what is Torah? the seichel, the intellect. It says, "Kinei mitzvah Torah or." A lamp is with light in it is a combination of mitzvah and Torah, of lev and moach. Lev and moach. And they are indivisible. You must turn on the lamp to have both. You need the lamp, and I need the source of light in the lamp. Mitzvah and Torah go together, as we said before. You cannot split between the seichel and the lev. So, what does it say in the Medrash? You can put together a lamp during the week, but not on Shabbos. Basically, it means the following. It's taken in a more symbolic way. The struggle during the week is a struggle to perfect our mind and our heart, to coordinate them, that they work in tandem, that the conflict within mind and heart cease, and that rather these two parts of our personality become allies, to do the Ritzon Hashem, the Simcha V'Tuv Levav, through our knowledge of Torah in our mind and through our heart and emotional commitment to do the mitzvahs of Hashem in the Torah. This is what you struggle with during the 6 days of the week. To develop the mind, to develop the emotion, to put these two things together. To build the lamp and to light the lamp. Kinei mitzvah v'Torah or. To put together the lamp of mitzvah with the light of the Torah. However, this we struggle with during the week. When it comes to Shabbos, the Medrash says, you stop building the lamp. Your struggle during the week will be completed on Shabbos by Shabbos itself. Shabbos is God's gift to Israel. And Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's something about the world to come. It says, Vayechula Shemaim V'aretz. On Shabbos, everything is completed. Vayechulu. It's kol, it's complete. There's a certain gift which the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives every Jew on Shabbos. That is that on Shabbos, our struggles cease and desist. We are complete. We feel a wholeness on Shabbos. We feel our vayechulu, hakol. As we say in our prayers on Shabbos, bakol mikol kol, every level of completion. It says in famous tefillah of Kegavna, Shabbos Chad. The Rosh of the Echad, there's a secret of Echad, of oneness. All the conflicts of the week, all the frustrations, the lack of completion, the sense of being incomplete, of being in a certain way shattered and broken, which we feel during our weekly struggles, is gone on Shabbos. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is completion. And Shabbos, I don't build the lamp. The lamp comes together on its own. That's the gift of Shabbos. It's the secret of Shabbos. The Raza. The Raza, the Echad. The secrets of oneness. So the Medrash says, you don't build the lamp on Shabbos. The lamp burns on its own. It's there and burns on its own. And in fact, Shem Shmuel says, you know, different people have different kinds of lamps on Shabbos. Some people have a Ner Shabbos, which is very bright. Many candles. Many, many branches of this menorah. That Shabbos light lights up the whole room. And maybe the whole house and the whole city. And then certain people have small Shabbos lamps. One or two small little candles. It lights, but doesn't light up not even the room, certainly not the city. And what determines if someone has a big Shabbos light or a small Shabbos light? How much he struggles. How much does she struggle during the week? To put together the Torah of the Seichel, the Torah of the Lev. How much do we struggle to make a coordinated unity between our mind and our emotions. To live Torah lives, not just to think about it and to know it, but to do it. To get our emotional act and our logical act together. And to the level that we struggle and we try so hard during the week to put together this lamp of Kinei Mitzvah, Torah Or. To that level, we get the lamp by itself on Shabbos. Shabbos produces what we're missing. By Chulu. Everything comes together, it comes completed on Shabbos. Someone struggles a lot during the week. Strives very hard to get to that perfection of Torah and Mitzvah, of Seichel and Lev. He has a big Shabbos lamp. He has a huge lamp. It burns, lights up the city. Someone who doesn't struggle, hardly struggles, has a small Shabbos lamp. That's the difference between the big lamp and the small lamp. How much vayechulu? How much comes together on Shabbos? That's why the Medrash continues and says, the way you enjoy the Shabbos, the way you build the Shabbos, that's the level which I will restore your pleasure on Shabbos. If you have an onik Shabbos, which is a result of tremendous effort during the week, then you will get to the point in which I will give you a very, very large tis'anag al Hashem. You will have a tremendous pleasure with Hashem. And according to the Medrash, this is sechar. This is something amazing. This is the reward which we get in this world. So the Medrash says, what about other mitzvos? Do we get reward for other mitzvos in this world? Says no. Peros, side benefits, but not the sechar. The sechar of other mitzvahs is ekev, we the end of time. Only Shabbos, has this incredible gift of reward for Shabbos, of onik Shabbos, of the pleasure of Shabbos in this world. Why is that so? Because Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Shabbos itself is a gift from another world. When I or you and any other Shomer Shabbos goes into Shabbos, we know we're in a time warp. It's not a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's a Shabbos. It's a completely different time zone. Everything which concerns us during the week, finances, problems, social relationships, even sins, all disappears, is gone. We're not involved in any of these struggles on Shabbos. Bar Shabbos, Bar Menucha. And this is Olam Haba. This is beyond time. It's a different level of time. It's the only mitzvah where the schar of that mitzvah, we can taste it on Shabbos. We can taste some bliss, which is non-worldly. It's from a different time zone. Olam Haba. However, other mitzvahs, because they're involved with this world, I do them. But to enjoy the schar of that mitzvah is impossible. This world itself is too defiled. There's too much tumah in the 6 days for the schar. The schar meaning that feeling of connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. An Olam Haba level of connection for us to feel during the week. There can be connections, but only Olam Hazeh. That's why you cannot get the Schar. The Schar is reserved for Olam Haba. But this is different than Shabbos, because Shabbos itself is a kind of Olam Haba. And Shabbos, we come to the Vayechulu, the call, the Bakol Mikol call, every level of completion. It's a Raza de Echad. As a secret, it's something which you cannot explain. It's a mystery. Somehow, this one day out of seven is completely different than the other six. It's a different time zone. It's a different reality. It's a different experience. It's me'ein olam haba. I taste the olam haba. And that's why we can say there is a Schav Shabbos. Schav mitzvah b'hai al melecha. There is no Schav, a regular mitzvah. But there is a Schav Shabbos. Oz this anag, you have the oneg of Olam Haba. So that's why the Medrash refers to the first pasuk in the Pasha. Voye ekev tishmon. V'shama Hashem. It'll be in the end of time that you'll get the schaf of the mitzvahs. But there is one mitzvah, one experience, which is Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh at the same time, namely Shabbos. On Shabbos, the Jew has that sense, that experience of perfection, of tzedakah u'mishpat, of chesed v'rachamim, of moach and lev. What we struggle with the whole week, we finally achieve on Shabbos. Whether the great person gets that great Ner Shabbos, or someone not so great gets a smaller Ner Shabbos, but we all, those of us who keep the Shabbos, we all taste this perfection of Olam Haba. Moach and Lev! And Yitz Hashem, all of us should be Zocha to be successful in this great challenge of Torah, the perfection of Moach and Lev, which we struggle with and we work at so much during the week. We should have a success. And be Zocha through this struggle to the great, amazing, incredible pleasure of the great Shabbos. The Shabbos which we taste every 7 days in this world, which is a small taste of that great Shabbos, the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, U'menucha L'chai Olamim, the great Shabbos, the eternal Shabbos of the world to come. Thank you very much.